Hey, good evening, everybody. I am here with Hollywood Wade, who has an excellent channel with the Mafia, Gangsters, Crime, Entertainment. Link is in the description box for Wade's channel. If you missed the interview we did with him a few years ago, it is mind-blowing what he went through himself. But tonight, we are here to talk about the Kim Porter book. You know, we had Matt Cox on last night. He said a lot. We've had Courtney on multiple times. And we had Chris Todd on 2 hours ago, who did a response to Matt Cox at the end of his podcast. We'll put that out separately tomorrow. But Wade, thanks for coming on, man. And you're part of this chain of events, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm like that guy in the background that, you know, and I'm okay with it. My name doesn't get mentioned all the time, but I was kind of the glue that put this together, that's holding one piece of wood to the other one. And I had no idea what I was really getting into, to be quite honest. It got a lot bigger, a lot faster than I expected. I think anybody expected. And just to put this in perspective, Sean, when this book came out, this book was tweeted by Andrew Tate. It was shown on the show with Nancy Grace. I mean, it literally set the internet on fire. And I mean, it made all sorts of news outlets and things like that. And that was never the plan. It was the plan for it to make news outlets, but not in the way it did. I guess I should say that.
Right. So for people who are not familiar with what's happened, you know, could you just slowly go over what was the genesis of this Kim Porter book?
So I guess for my involvement, I was approached by a friend of mine named Matt Granahan. I've had him on my show a bunch of times. He refers to himself as the King of Connecticut. He's a Florida MMA Hall of Famer. He works with Shoot Pro Wrestling. You know, he's a very interesting cat. And he oftentimes will contact me and say, hey, this guy, you know, would be good for your show. This guy has this story. This guy has that story. And it was, you know, brokered to me that I've got a guy that used to deal with Tupac in the music industry. I think the origin of why he was speaking to them was Courtney and someone wanted to team up and do either a music video or film something at a club that he had some interest in or partners of, something along those lines. So that's how he knew them, but he knew them on those aspects. And then the fact that they wanted to film a music video, I guess they got to talking. And Courtney, you know, let on that he had some lineage to Tupac. And so that Matt was like, hey, this guy would be a good guest for your show, because we cover a little bit of everything. And so that's kind of how I went with it. Now, originally, I did not talk to Courtney directly. I talked to his partner, who I don't know if you've actually heard that name thrown around, but his name was Leo. And I can't give you a last name, not because I'm trying to cloak and dagger this situation, but I don't know it. I just know his first name was Leo. And we got on a three-way call, me, Leo, and Matt. He was telling me about, you know, the relationship with Tupac. He said Courtney's name, but I never actually spoke to Courtney. Then when he and I talked privately a little further, he was like, what you really need to cover is this Kim Porter book. And I'm like, Kim Porter, like Diddy's Kim Porter? This was right after he got raided. I'd say probably within a week after he got raided. So there's been no arrest. There's been no, you know, all these findings. There's been no freak off, you know, stories, none of that. There's just been raids. And so I'm like, wait a minute, you've got this book. I've often heard that there was a book. I think that's kind of the unhidden secret that's kind of circled around Hollywood. Even Al B. Sure himself has said there was a book being written. And that's someone that put a cease and desist on the book that eventually came up that we're getting in here about. So we'll get into that a little bit later. But when he tells me about it, I'm like, well, you know, out of a journalistic curiosity, well, I'd definitely like to read it. You know, how can I get my hands on it? He says, well, I'm in New York. I'll mail it to you. And just so happens, I was traveling to New York the following week. My daughter was contemplating maybe moving to the New Jersey area. So we were going to stay a couple of days in New York, a couple of days in Jersey, let her get a feel for the area. So I was up there with my whole family, and I actually went and met Leo in person at a mall in Hoboken, I think is where we were at. So I meet him. We exchange the book, And I'm like, all right, I said, I'll look into it. And, you know, if it looks like something that I might want to cover, I'll get back to you. So I read this book on the way home, on the plane ride back home. And mind you, the book I'm referring to is Courtney's version that is listed, I believe, as Tell It All. So I'm reading this thing, and it's a lot. It's a lot about landish stuff. And I don't know if you, have you ever read his version? Have you read his version?
No, Matt Cox said he's going to send it to me.
Okay. I have, that's the only version I have. I actually have never read the Kim's Lost Words version. So the only version I've ever actually seen and laid eyes on is the Tell It All. So I'm reading this. There's no redactions in this. There's no names crossed out. There's nothing too much left to the imagination. And I'll be honest, I didn't know how much of it I believed. I was kind of like, some of this stuff is pretty out there. Like, some of it seemed like it could probably happen. You've heard a lot of these stories and, you know, the underbelly and the talks in the back rooms. And Jaguar Wright's been very open and about a lot of the stuff that was going on. So it's like, to me, it was like, I don't know how much I believe this book. And so I was like, I contacted him when I got back. I was like, all right, so, you know, what are we trying to do here? Are we wanting to push the book? Are we wanting to sell this book? You know, and that's how I first got introduced to Chris Todd, because I was talking to Matt. Matt reached out. I'm not sure who he reached out to, but basically we got on the phone with a podcast in LA, and Chris Todd was on the line. And so I recognized Todd from being on that podcast. I knew who he was. I had never met him. We had never spoken, but I knew that he'd done a lot of work in kind of this field, in this journalistic field of him going out and exploring things that maybe people don't want explored. You know, OJ, JonBenet, who you just covered, you know, with him today, and a lot of other, you know, famous cases, Natalie Wood, things that I think people always have a feeling that on the surface they're solved, but they're not really solved. You know what I'm saying? There's probably more to the story. And so we talked about trying to sell this as a one piece story to some different organizations. I do believe Vlad was contacted and made an offer that we have this. Would you like to purchase it? Everybody passed. I bet they're probably wishing they probably hadn't passed now, but they passed at least at that time. So I was actually really kind of content with letting it go because there wasn't a lot I could do to verify it. You know, I have a regular job. I do the podcast as a side gig. So I didn't have the means to dig into this and vet any of this. And I mentioned it to Chris. We kind of talked back and forth about possibly doing something on it, but he's gauging interest on his end because he doesn't have the book at this time. He just knows that I have it. And I've told him enough to pique his interest on it. So his wheels are rolling. So we do an interview, him and I, about the notorious BIG situation. And while we're talking about it, I brought up a section of the book, and I think I may have told this on your story or in your show, but I brought up a portion of the book where it's Kim Porter, P. Diddy, and Tupac are together, and Diddy opens up the invitation for them to all get with Kim and basically see which one could get her to the finish line to be PC the quickest. Pac is obviously not down with that situation. There's a bit of a blow up. And then subsequently Diddy kind of makes a phone call, and that would lead you to believe, as far as that book goes, that he kind of masterminded and set up the hit that was put on Tupac at Quad 6 Studios. So we mentioned that, and I make a little reel and throw some pictures of Tupac and Biggie in there. And for my channel, it done very well. I think it had over 100,000 views. It's probably got more now. A lot of people were commenting. Like, it was just one of them reels that, you know, I mean, you probably get a lot of them, but in my case, I don't. And so when it was firing off like that, it was good for me. And so it started getting a lot of interest. Well, I see somebody comment that you don't know the real story. Contact me. The username, and I don't know if it's the same now, he may have changed it, but it was like CBJ something. So I go to click on it, and then I see that it's Courtney Burgess's Instagram. So I know that Courtney is the one that's allegedly behind this book, the one who holds the key to this book. Now, keep in mind, at this point, I've only dealt with Leo. Then after that, I've not contacted Leo at all. I'm just trying to figure out what to do with the book now that I have it in my possession. I don't know how many books were floating around at that point. They did have a TikTok account set up where it was being sold. As to how many sales they had, how many they were generating, if any, I don't think there was very much. That was kind of the link of how I got brought into it, was they wanted somebody to be able to push it. And like Matt Cox said last night, my channel didn't really have the reach to be able to do that, which is what sent me to talk to guys like Todd. And I originally talked to Matt, and you know, he explained that he really had no knowledge on the subject. He didn't know how well it would do. And keep in mind that Diddy wasn't arrested at this time. He was just raided. He doesn't even know if these two are parallel to each other, because he doesn't really know a lot about the that whole history. So when Courtney contacts me on Instagram, we start messaging back and forth, and he's like, how did you, where did you hear this? And I'm like, I read it from a book. And he's like, what book? I said, the book that I'm guessing come from you. And he's like, how you know me? And I'm like, I heard your name from Leo. And so once he figured out that I had the connections to him, he was a little bit more open. We wound up talking on the phone, and it was a situation where he was like, basically he said, look, I'm going to put this out. He told me a little bit about what went on. He said, I got this in my possession. He was like, I've been waiting for the right time. He's like, now's the right time. He's like, I want to put this out. He's like, I want to push it. And I was like, I said, well, look, I would love to do an episode on it, but I don't know if I would be able to do it justice. And then I was like, I said, let me shop this around. So like I said, I go to Matt. Matt doesn't really have any interest. I go to a few other people. I didn't really get any biters at that time. So I talk to Todd, and I'm telling him, hey, look, I've got the guy that is basically the one saying that he got this. Like, he knows the people. He's the player. He's the key figure. And so I didn't introduce them two together. I'm taking messages from Courtney. I'm relaying them to Todd. I'm taking Todd's questions. I'm relaying them back to Courtney. So I'm the middleman. They weren't connected at the hip at that point. As time goes by, what we kind of figure out was, we're going to try to see if we can figure out a way to get some steam behind this. And so Todd actually leaked a chapter of that book to Radar Online. And if you look about a month before the book was dropped, there was some podcast that done some things about a Kim Porter tell-all book that was allegedly in existence. That was done to drum up buzz. Now, Todd's name, I don't think, was attached to that. I don't think he put it out as him being the one that leaked it, but it was him, which, I mean, it was smart. It's what you're supposed to do in this business. So he leaks that, and podcasts pick it up. I think Angela Yee covered it. Some very prolific people in the industry. So it made waves, and then it quickly died off as quick as it started to be talked about. And I think Radar Online actually pulled it. I'm not 100%, but I think they had it up for a period of time, and then I think they pulled it down. So now Chris is like, I'm going to write this book. I'm going to take it and I'm going to rewrite it, and we're going to put it out. We're going to distribute it on Amazon. You know, this is what we're going to do. He's like, can we all get into a group conversation? That way we're not doing the whole back and forth thing. So I talked with Courtney. I let him know what was going on, where we were at, what we were thinking of doing. He was in agreeance. So July the 1st, and I know that to the day, was the day we all first got into a group text message together. And the plan is, Todd is going to write this book, put it out pretty much as is. He's going to leave that surname or pen name or wherever, Jamal Millwood. He's not going to attach his name to it. He's going to put it out. And I didn't even know at the time that he was going to do the redactions in it that he did. Like I said, I never personally had a copy of this book, but obviously it was all over TikTok and Instagram and everywhere else. When you look, people were reading it word for word. So it's not really hard to track down, but I never physically had a copy of it. And I didn't know he were going to make any redactions. He never said that. I mean, it wasn't really a huge deal. I understand why he did it because of some of the names. And if people don't know the names, it's probably not hard to find out. I don't know if I want to be the one to say one of them for sure, because that was a part in the book that really kind of stood out. So that's kind of the plan going forward. We put it together. He's writing it. Then as he's writing it, he keeps emailing saying, I'm pitching it here. I'm pitching it there. You know, possibly somebody wants to do interest for a documentary. So you're trying to get the mileage from somebody buying it to do their own thing. Then you're going to do the book later. And obviously nothing ever materialized with it on that aspect. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it dropped a few days on Amazon before Diddy got arrested. I believe it was either a few days before or a few days after, but I think it was before. So we drop it. But the thing is, originally Todd's idea, anonymity. We don't want to have our names attached to it, because as he just said on your show, he's got a lot of flack for this. He's got a lot of grief and, you know, hate mail and this, that, and the other, you know, threats and everything to hear him tell it. So I was totally fine with that. I wasn't really going to be part right. I didn't have anything to do with writing this book or anything like that anyway. But we got to promote it. You can't sell something if you're not promoting it. If nobody knows it's there, nobody's going to buy it. So I tell him, look, I got a buddy of mine in Florida, big podcast. We're good friends. It was Matt Cox. And I reach out to him. Now, this time he's a little bit more interested, because by the time I reach out to him, Diddy has been arrested. And I'm like, look, we will be the first podcast to talk about the book being released. Yes, people's done shows. Hey, did you hear there was a book, or there's allegedly a book, or all this, that, and other. You and I are going to be the first ones to talk. Hey, this book is out. You don't believe me? Here it is. Go get it. It's on Amazon. So it's a way to promote the book and get people talking, get the buzz going, but still not reveal who it's coming from. Because at this point, I'm not wanting to put Courtney in a light or Todd, because they, at that time, neither one of them wanted it. So we go that route. The podcast with Matt blows up. Goes viral. I mean, I don't know what constitutes viral, but it got a lot of views. I think it's sitting right at slightly under a million right now, 900 and something thousand. And it got there fairly quickly within a couple of days. I mean, every night when I would wake up, first couple of days, it was hundred thousands. And then like I would wake up, look at it next day, it's another 60. So it climbed up within a week. I think we were at the 800,000. Then it kind of tapered off and there was a slight climb. He even done a second show that had nothing to do with the book, just about possible prison time for Diddy. And it done, I think, more than mine. It was like, he was on fire there for a couple of weeks, but it definitely generated a lot of buzz. And one thing I want to point out here with this, I'm not sure how this book was marketed. If anybody's ever sold anything on Amazon, you do things like keywords, or if things are typed in, this will populate. So obviously with this, you would think, you would put in the word Kim Porter or did something. Everybody was having trouble finding that book. If you go on that comment section and you look, there's comment after comment after comment, can't find the book, to the point to where Matt went and put the link in the description box. If he hadn't changed it, it's still there. And that were the only way people was finding it, was clicking directly on that link. Now, I don't know how many actual sales there were on this book, but what I do know, if this thing was done just a tad bit smarter, it would have probably doubled. But it was so hard for people to find because of the way it was put up. And I don't think that was done on purpose. I think that was done off just the polite way I can say it is maybe not unintelligence, but it was hard for people to find it. Even with all that, I remember the first couple of days we sold 13 books. Then it was 24,000 books, or not 24,000. Then it was like 2,000. Then it was 4,000. Then it just kept climbing and climbing and climbing. So It's kind of worked out the way they wanted it to. The book's generating buzz. Nobody knows who it's coming from. Nobody knows anything. And then boom, Daily Mail article comes out with Beyond the Grave, whatever that name of that book was that he put up there. He did add that, he did make that title, the Beyond the Grave or whatever it was. Kim Porter's Beyond the Grave, Journey for Justice. Author Chris Todd. So I pick up the phone and I'm like, so much for being in the background. Like, that's kind of shot out the damn window now. And he's like, well, I had to, you know, they weren't going to run the article if I didn't put my name to it. I'm like, I think you just realize you don't have to put your name on it. What we just did with on Matt's show. Like, you don't have to do that. If you ask me, he wanted to do it, which is fine. He wanted to attach his name to it. And then after that, he became a dartboard and a shooting target for everybody. Everybody wanted to get to know him. Everybody wanted to talk to him. Everybody wanted to interview him about it. How did you get it? And that was the whole reason why I originally reached out to Todd, is I did not have the means to vet any of this. Now, what he did to vet it, I don't know. I've never asked him. It's not my business. It's his. I don't even know if he did. I'm assuming he did, because if you didn't, you're kind of opening yourself up to some ramifications later on. So he does that. Courtney, meanwhile, his name isn't brought up yet. He's still in the background. He's quiet. So he starts going on all these different podcasts. He does the Daily Mail interview. That's an article, not every article. Then he does the Art of Dialogue. He made, I forgot the name of their podcast, the Breakfast Club podcast. He made Donkey of the Day, which is where Charlemagne the God. So shout out Charlemagne the God. I'll throw that out there. He's from Malt's Corner, South Carolina. I live in Somerville, South Carolina. It's like 10 minutes away from here. So shout out to Charlemagne. And he will basically pick someone that he thinks is the donkey of the day and spell out why. And Chris Todd made Donkey of the Day on the Breakfast Club, Charlemagne the God's podcast/morning show. So they're really holding him to the fire on this. And one of the things that I think was the reason why is I forget what interview it was, but he did an interview where somebody said, how much of this book do you think is true? And he gave a percentage that wasn't a high percent. Like, it wasn't 100% or 95 of it. It was like 60. So Sean, if I'm giving you a book that's naming half of the hip hop music industry, detailing hits and, you know, unalivings of some of the biggest names in hip hop, coercion with some of the biggest people in hip hop, very, very compromising situations with people that are synonymous in that world, and I say 60% is true, what does that really sound like I'm saying?
But you don't know what's true and what's not true.
Exactly. But yet I've now attached my name to this. Okay. So at this point, I'm literally sitting back, just shaking my head. Like, I don't know what we're doing. Like, I don't know what this is. I don't know how we got here. It was supposed to be stay anonymous, the mysterious point, the mysterious factor. Nobody knows where the book's coming from. Who did it? Was it an insider? You could spin that so many ways to generate more buzz. But once you attached his name to it, then you're going to have everybody want to talk to him. Then you've got to make sure that, pardon the phrase, your stuff is together, because these people are coming with, a lot of people are been looking into this stuff for a while. They're coming with questions. You better not answer them. You better not answer them right. And if you don't, there's going to be more controversy. Me personally, I think that sparked a lot of controversy. And that's why Charlemagne gave him Donkey of the Day. He said, how do you put out a book saying this is true, but yet turn around and admit that you don't think, but maybe 50 or 60% of it is true? So that's really a contradictory. And it is. I got to be honest. That's a big contradictory to what you put in your stamp on. So now things are really starting to get a little crazy with this. The book is only up a slight amount of time. And then there's a cease and desist issued. The money is frozen. That deal is essentially on ice, literally. You know, especially when it comes to Amazon. So now what is, I forgot exactly how this came about. I do know that Matt asked if he could talk to Courtney, and I don't even know if I knew they were doing a show. I'm just, obviously I'm subscribed to Matt's podcast, and I think he said he talked to him. Maybe in his mind, that was him telling me they did a show together, but I thought they just talked. And then here is Courtney showing up on Matt's show, and he kind of detailed that last night. I won't rehash every bit of it, but he's openly admitting to having and seeing child
CP.
Yeah. CP. I was wanting to make sure I got the letters right. So that's not good. That's not a good thing. Now, keep in mind, I do want to clarify this. Through every text message that he and Courtney and I had, no mention of any videotapes were ever discussed. The only thing that was discussed when we first started talking was how Todd was going to receive the info for the book, like the, I guess, the original PDFs or whatever. And it was discussed. I don't even know if that was discussed in that group thread, but essentially Courtney mailed it to Todd, from what I understand. As far as I know, it was only one. That's how he got it. That's how, what he used to reformat the book or format the book. He says he added in some chapters. Well, what I heard on TikTok, I don't know very much that he added. Now, I do know, like I said, we covered, he'd done the redactions. But outside of that, I don't really know what else he did other than do some redactions, put her face on the front, and change the name of the book from Tell It All to whatever that long title was. The cover even got hit for a copyright claim for a period of time. So they had to take it down and change the cover of the book. And then it was able to go back up. And then within a day or two, the cease and desist hit, and it came back down. So after Courtney goes on Cox's show and he tells this story, then a few days later, he's met with the actual subpoena. And then he tells me that. He tells me about the one that he's got proof of because he sends me a picture of it. Now, it's a subpoena, not raided. I think sometimes people have different terminologies. Like, you know, raiding is when they kick your door in, they turn your house upside down, they're looking for drugs or whatever they can find. That whatever they're looking for, they're ransacking your house for it. That is a raid. Or if they take over one of your businesses or whatever. You're very familiar with what a raid is. A raid is not leaving a piece of paper saying, hey, we need to talk to you. That's very different. That's a lot less damage. So he's given that paper. And then the next thing I know, he's got to go to New York and testify in front of a grand jury. So you can imagine where, like, mentally where I'm at with this. I'm in the background of this whole thing. I put these two together to do this book. I got Todd being called Donkey of the Day, saying he believes 60% of the book that he put out, that he attached his name to, that is attached to all these other cases that he supposedly solved, the Zodiac, O.J. Simpson, JonBenet, and all this. He's attaching his name to this, so he's putting his stamp on it, but then says he only believes 60%. I got another guy that just got raided by, you know, or subpoenaed. He said raided, but subpoenaed, and now he's testifying in front of a grand jury in New York, or, you know, subpoenaed to go talk to them with his lawyer, being interviewed on TMZ, and then he's on News Nation the next day. And I'm just like, oh my God, I had no idea this is where this thing was going to get to. So seemingly to me, and I don't speak with Todd anymore, throughout this process, once Courtney started doing his own thing, I think Todd was a little upset. Courtney was under the impression, like, if you can go on and talk, so can I. I'm the one that really put this thing together. I'm the one that has the info about where I got it from, who gave it to me. Like, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, we kind of all work together, but none of this would be going on if it wasn't for me and the information that I have and how I got it. So that was his stance. Todd's actually was, well, I'm the one that put it out. You didn't know how to put it out. And they're both right. At the end of the day, they're both right. And neither one of them would have met if it wasn't for me putting them together. So the money is frozen at that point. There's really nothing we can do. There's threats of lawsuits from this person, that person. Courtney's got his own stuff. And eventually that just leads to a full-blown falling out, really, between all three of us. And I'll put it like this. I'm not going to sit here and bash Chris Todd. I'm not that type of guy. But what I will tell you is, if we were doing a deal tomorrow and I was a 99% shareholder and whatever it is, I would pass. That's just how unprofessional he is to deal with in business. I've got my own opinions on some of the shows that he did. I mean, like, I'll put it like this. He said he saw O.J. Simpson, The Zodiac, JonBenet Ramsey, Natalie Wood, all these high-profile cases. Sean, if you look up all those cases right now, do any of them say solved? So you know a lot, or you claim to know a lot. You Kamala Harris stood up real good with a lot of word salad. But at the end of the day, bro, all these cases are still unsolved. So you haven't really solved much. And on a professional level, I would never deal with him again. Never. Courtney, I've had nothing but good experiences with Courtney. Anything that Courtney's ever done, said he was going to do, he held up. Chris held up his end of the bargain as far as the deal with the book, but to get there was a nightmare. And I'll never deal with him again on anything. And I'm sure I think he even said it on your show. He's done with me. I'm done with him. He's done with Courtney. And that's fine. That's fine by me. It was just it's not how professionals do business in any aspects. It's just not how it's done. Now, Courtney starts getting, Chris really kind of died off of the interviews after that. I don't know if that was from any sort of communication with him from law enforcement. I know he said he's been contacted from, you know, a few different factions. We don't talk, so I don't know. I don't know if, you know, he just didn't want to do it, period. I know now he's trying to focus on his other projects, which is fine. Courtney, on the other hand, went crazy with his interviews. And even after he was interviewed, and then he started popping up on your channel. And then the round one between him and Jaguar right on your show was better than The Sopranos, in my opinion. I'm watching that and I could not turn away for nothing. I love Jaguar. And I was on your show I don't think Courtney was on that one. That was just me, Jaguar, and some other people. But him and Jaguar round one, man, that is classic stuff. Classic stuff. And it's about what I expected. And I love Courtney to death. And I tell him this, there's some people you should not get in the ring and box verbally. And Jaguar Ride is one of them. That's, you got to have it together. You better be a trained professional verbal athlete, so to speak, if you want to get in there and combat anything that she's got to say. That's just hands. That's the way it is. You better have your facts ready when you come. And I don't know whether he just wasn't ready, whether he was limited in what he could say, but his capacity to be able to explain himself and defend himself was not a good matchup for Jack. And I would think a lot of your audience would probably agree. Now, I don't know what happened between them two after that, because seemingly it went a lot better the next few times they got together. I don't know if you brokered some stuff with that behind the scenes, or if they made peace, or what happened, but seemingly the next few times they got together, everything was good. So as all this is still progressing, the book is obviously down. Courtney's selling his book, which was the original Tell It All that I got way back in, I think, March or April, that kind of spun all this in motion. I don't know anything about him not being able to do the shipping for the UK listeners. I do know he plugged it on your show. I do know there were some orders, but kind of like Chris said earlier, whatever he's doing with Tell It All is his thing. I'm not involved in that. The deal that I was involved in with him and Chris was the, I don't even remember that title, but that long, very long title that was on Amazon. I don't know what he's doing with that. I don't know who's handling his shipping or his affairs with that. I do know shipping to the UK is much different than shipping from LA to New York. There's a little bit more cost involved. So I don't know what happened with that. Hopefully everybody gets what they paid for. I feel as though he will make it right in one way or another. He's never done wrong by me as far as anything that he's promised or said he was going to do. Maybe it's not in a timely fashion, but I feel everybody will get the product that they want. But again, I have nothing to do with that. That's all him. So he's continuously doing these interviews. He's getting re-indicted again. At one point, I reach out to him and I get no response, which was unlikely. We probably talked every other day, or, you know, at least every 3 days. We rarely went a week without talking, and I went almost 5 days and didn't hear from him. And then one night I'm cooking dinner and I get a call. It's a strange number. And I don't know about you, but I get about 800 weird numbers a day that I don't know. Most of them are spam calls from people wanting to sell me insurance to, you know, Medicaid and all kinds of craziness. So apparently my number's in some sort of a system, but I happened to answer it and it was him. And he's like, "Hey, Wade," he's like, they took my phone. He's like, "The feds got my phone." So now I'm like, all right, here's another level. So now they have his phone with text messages of everything that's, you know, been said throughout this whole process. I don't even ask why I know the gist of why they wanted him, but I don't even ask. Cause that's, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not being rude, but that's his business. And if he wants to tell it, that's another story, but I didn't ask. And so now he gets a lawyer, Ariel, what's her last name? Mitchell.
Ariel Mitchell. We had her on with Jaguar.
Yeah. I seen that episode. I couldn't remember her last name. I first seen Ariel. I think she was on News Nation and she was saying that there's I think it's called a catch and kill, where people are basically saying, "Hey, we've got this. It's for sale. If the person wants to catch it, kill it, write us a check," whatever that check may be, "and it won't get out." So essentially, if I had a tape of Sean, you doing something that you didn't want made public, I would somehow or another, through a liaison or a third party, extend an offer, "Hey, this is what it'll cost to kill it. You pay it. It's done," and it never reaches the light of day. I'm not talking to Todd in this point, so I don't know. But from what I understood after that, he leaked it to Ariel that he had these flash drives. Maybe he did. I do not know. Any conversations about video flash drives, I was never a part of. And I've got every text message that we ever sent for the whole 4, 5, 6 months, however long this whole thing lasted. Nothing was ever said about video flash drives. Now, Courtney seems to think that Todd was pressuring him to give him the flash drives to be able to move. If I'm guessing or brainstorming, what probably happened was Todd reached out to Ariel and said, "Hey, put some feelers out. What is this worth if it's there?" Then he could come back to Courtney and say, "Courtney, if you really got this, this is what we can get for it." Am I saying that's what happened? I don't know. That's my best guess. Todd claims to have these flash drives. Courtney claims to have seen them and had them in his possession at least at one time. I've never seen anything. I've never seen a still photo from it. The only stills that I see are the stuff that's floating around on the internet. And brother, I'm sure you know as well as anybody else, with AI today, I can put Babe Ruth, Jay-Z, and Heath Ledger as the Joker all in the same room together playing poker if I tried hard enough. So I don't put too much stock into any photo anyway. I mean, now video is a different story, but again, I've never seen any of these videos. So I don't know whether Chris really has them or not. It sounds like to me he was doing a little fishing expedition to gauge the financial interest. Courtney is under the assumption that he got subpoenaed because Todd gave the information that he had these tapes. Now that is possible, but he also openly admitted on Matt's podcast that he had these tapes. So I don't know how much you can accuse Todd of having anything to do with that when you openly went on and said you had these things anyway. So that's kind of the caveat there. Now, nobody, I don't think, ever mentioned who gave Courtney. I think that's kind of the whole root of all this stuff, is who gave Courtney this? How did Courtney Burgess come in contact with anyone that gave him the flash drives that contained the book of Kim Porter? And that is, I think, the root question that everybody's been asking. I don't think Courtney ever said the words Kimora, and I don't think Chris Todd ever said it. But I know it was revealed last night that that was the source. Now, I don't know if they had a conversation and Matt was privy to that. I don't know. I never personally asked Courtney where he got the flash drives from. He told me that a reliable source gave them to him because of his connection to the music business and Tupac. And from what I understand, Kim and Tupac were very close. That's just from what I hear. I've got no firsthand knowledge of that whatsoever. I live in South Carolina and I have all my life. So any music industry stuff going on in New York or LA, I was nowhere near. So I'm going off what I've been told from people since I've kind of been involved in this. So that's kind of the progression of what led us to, I guess, here more recently. You know, Todd and Courtney probably talked a few months after Todd and I quit communicating. When I would try to reach out to Todd here and there to get an update on everything, he would get really aggravated and basically didn't want to be bothered. And we did not speak for probably about 2 months. And I don't think Matt told this story. He even at one time tried to get Matt to be a liaison between me and him, which Matt didn't really have anything to do with that. That's a whole nother story. And I'll let Matt tell that if you ever have him back on, because that happened between them. But I would say probably about 3 weeks ago, Todd finally did reach out to me from a private number. And he was saying that him and Courtney had this big falling out and they're not speaking. And, you know, it was really a poor way to do business. I don't really know what all went down on their end. I mean, again, that's between them because we weren't really talking. But it seems like to me, Todd used the book of Kim Porter to launch his other projects and to help bring attention to his other projects. It seems Courtney used the information he had. According to him, it's revenge for Tupac. That very well may be so. But also, I mean, anytime you put out something that you know is going to be a number one hit, whether it's a show, a podcast, a book, you know, there's always going to be some ways to gain financially from it. So that's always, I think, at the root of it. Nobody's going to do a lot of stuff for free these days. Everybody's wanting to charge. There's that old saying of what's in it for me. And there's a reason for that. And there's money to be made. At every avenue, there's money to be made. So now I think the well is kind of run dry for Chris. There's nothing he can do with his version of the book. It's not going back up on Amazon. They're not going to let him do it with there. So his association with the book, I do believe, is 100% done. I don't see what else he can do with it without opening himself up to another style lawsuit. Courtney, I don't know what the hell he's going to do going forward. I've really got no idea. I mean, he's still getting called in. I don't think that's over. I think he's still got a lot of stuff left he's going to have to deal with that is not favorable. I would not want to be in his shoes. And I don't know what he's doing with the Tell It All book. I don't know if it's still up for sale. I don't know if it still can be bought. Essentially, the Chris's book now has kind of become a collector's item because of people that have got it. If you go on eBay, I've seen that thing on eBay. One of them had it listed for $5,000. Now, it's not saying somebody bought it, but that's what it was listed for. So it's really kind of crazy that this whole thing has captivated the world like it did, turned everything upside down. Two guys that have seemingly at that point had not really been in any sort of, I'm going to say, limelight. Courtney had never done interviews in any of this fashion before. He had his stuff in the music, but not like this, not front and center, TMZ, News Nation, Sean Atwood, Matt Cox. He had never done anything like that before. Todd had done podcasts, so he was familiar with how that worked, but I don't think anything prepared him for what he was going to do and come in contact with when this came out. You know, none of his other books are doing those kind of numbers. I can promise you that. So it kind of brings us here now to where we are at now, where Todd has nothing else to do with that book. His well is run dry, so it's back to his stuff. Courtney's got a lot of stuff he's going to have to figure out. And it's just been a wild ride, man, for me the whole time because I'm kind of in the background. I was putting them together to get it done. For a little bit of time, I was the mediator, trying to be the cooler head. Obviously, that didn't work. I can tell you firsthand, Courtney's never going to probably speak to Todd again ever. Todd probably feels the same way. I'm never going to do business with Todd. You know, I don't even know that I'll do anything else with Courtney going forward. What happened. At least Todd's book deal is kind of dead and over with. Courtney's story has still got a few chapters to be written. And I'm curious to see how this plays out. Because I know on your channel, a lot of people have put together things that he said that doesn't line up with previous statements. And that's one thing that you got to be ready for. When you get into this game and you start telling stories, they have to line up and they have to make sense, or you're going to get crucified. The internet and YouTube is unforgiving. It's not two guys in a bar and you had too many drinks and you say, oh man, I was at, you know, this bar or this place, or I was driving this car when you was really driving another car. Everybody forgets that. You're telling this on the internet for the world to see. Immediately, they're going to go right back. Well, that ain't what he said here. He said he did this and he said he did that. So I don't know if Courtney was prepared of what he was getting himself into, especially getting on your show with Jaguar Wright. I think that was obviously he was not prepared of what he was getting into there. And it seems that your fans don't necessarily believe 100% of what Courtney says. You know, if you ask me, Wade, where do you sit on what Courtney says? He's passionate about what he says. And just me, him and I's conversation together, I believe a lot of what he's saying. Do I believe everything 100%? No. And that's kind of where I sit on it with that. You know, I don't know if he actually met Kamara because I never asked. I don't know what his connection with Kamara would be. I don't know why that would come about. There's seemingly a lot of different people that she could have chose. Maybe there was somebody else that, you know, how many times have people probably told this story? Well, this more famous person gave this to somebody else, but then I got it from him. So as the story's told, that middleman's cut out. You got it from this person. That happens all the time. People do that all the time. Oh, I got it from, you know, that guy. Well, no, you didn't get it from that guy. You got it from somebody else that guy gave it to. You and him have no affiliation together. I'm not saying that's what happened here. Maybe it's a version of it. I don't know. There's a lot left that I think the public don't know. But at the end of the day, I think this book is filled with things that is long-standing rumors in the hip-hop community, in the hip-hop world. I think a lot of people believe it. I believe a lot of it now. Once the arrest happened and the details of this freak off started happening, a lot more of that book seemed very, very plausible to me. When at first I was probably 50-50, after you started hearing the details of everything that happened, all these people coming forward, you know, it starts to really kind of, okay, maybe a lot of this does make sense. And the one thing, Sean, that I got to say, you look on the internet, there's pictures popping up now of these Diddy parties. Everybody's at these parties, actors, musicians, wrestler. I mean, the whole gamut. Why has nobody come up and said, man, Diddy didn't do that? They've said, I was at Diddy parties, but nothing was going on when I was there. Russell Brand said it. Marlon Wayans has said it, you know, but when Cat Williams talked about it in January on the Shannon Sharp show, he said, it's all going to come to light, and seemingly it has. And not one person has come to the defense of Diddy with a celebrity status and said, that's my guy. He didn't do none of this. He's being railroaded. He's being this, he's being that. Nobody. You're friends with Jay-Z, a very powerful guy whose word goes a long way. Who's, if he puts his stamp on you, that's saying something. Jay-Z has been quiet as a Monday morning church. He ain't said nothing. And there's a reason. There's a reason none of these guys are coming to his aid and coming to his back to back it. Because when you start doing that, then you become someone that the people are looking into. Nobody wants to associate yourself with him right now. Nobody. And there's a reason for that. And I think that'll speak volumes. You and Matt talked about a scenario last night that I never thought about. Was Courtney a mole, a Diddy mole? I do not think so. I do not think that is the case, but I do think ultimately what his mission was to bury Diddy, ultimately could wind up helping him. Ultimately. Not on purpose, But I think ultimately it could wind up helping Diddy unbeknownst to him. It was not the intended purpose, but I do think it could wind up circling the background and actually helping him out. Because when you have someone, you know, saying these sorts of outlandish things and these high accusations and, you know, with all these people and pushing books and stuff like that, that becomes like, there's no way I can get a fair trial. This guy didn't have the right to do this. This guy didn't have the right to do that. The whole world's read this book just full of lies. How can I ever get a fair trial if the world's read a book that's saying all these horrible things about me? And a good lawyer can play that card. He can play it very well. And I often kind of compared that to, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the case, but the Murdoch case here in South Carolina. Are you familiar with that? So Alex Murdoch was a lawyer. In a small town in South Carolina, his grandfather was a lawyer. His sons were coming up to be lawyers. They essentially ran the town. His youngest son, and I'll make this very brief and get back on subject. His youngest son bought beer underage, was out on a boat. The boat struck, I think, a landing or something. A girl flew off and was killed. She drowned. Alex and his grandfather show up at the hospital that night, starting to try to play cleanup. And let's say this happened. Let's say this happened. The town was buzzing because this girl passed away. That led to other things that happened. Possibly one of his other sons had something to do with the kid getting run over in that town. Then the kid that was driving the boat and Alex's wife were unalived on his land. And he called in the 911 call. Later on, he calls in a call where somebody tried to take him out while he was changing his tire. He's eventually arrested for all this. There's even a situation where his maid fell down some steps, broke her neck. She died. He collected on an insurance policy that he promised to give her two kids that he never did. I mean, this was deep, man. It's deep. If you've never heard of it, if you want to go down a rabbit hole, go down that. But my point in saying all this was Alex Murdoch was still on trial, and he had a Netflix show and a show on Hulu. So that's a good little precursor. If you got some time, go check out the Netflix show. It's called The Murdochs, I think, or Alex Murdoch, something like that. It won't be hard to find. It's very good. It's very entertaining. It just don't stop. And I was thinking, I'm like, look, these documentaries are out. How is this even possible for these documentaries to come out while the case is still going on? Now, in that case, it didn't work out for Alex too well. He was found guilty and he went to jail. So it's not to say that this will get Diddy a get out of jail free card by any means, but it's definitely an avenue that a good lawyer could use, because there was a lot more evidence in the Murdoch case than, you know, I don't know all the evidence in this Diddy case, but he had some pretty damning stuff. One of the biggest things was he said that he was not at the crime scene when it happened. And then there was a Snapchat from his son's phone that pinged a little bit before the call, and it showed him there. So he lied about being there when the unalivings took place. So that was essentially the nail in his coffin.
All right. Just because there's a lot more people watching now than earlier, then just to give a little bit summary about how the book progressed, how it came about. So from, you know, the last couple of days, what we found out is Kim supposedly gave it to Kimora Simmons. Kimora Simmons gave it to Courtney Burgess. Courtney Burgess spoke to you, and you connected Courtney with Chris Todd.
Yes. And originally, Courtney contacted me because he seen my reel on Instagram where Chris and I were discussing the book. So Chris and I were discussing what we could do with this story before we ever talked to Courtney. And Courtney just happened to see that reel comment. I recognized the letter because it didn't say Courtney Burgess. It was like initials like CBJ or something like that. Then when I clicked on it, I seen Courtney Burgess was the Instagram name, started looking through some of the stuff and realized, oh, this was the guy that actually was the one that was, you know, new Tupac, the guy who I was originally supposed to interview. All this started because I was supposed to interview somebody that worked with Tupac in the music business. That was the way I got into this whole entire thing, was the premise of I was going to interview a guy that worked with Tupac in the music business. That was going to be my pitch and interview. And somehow or another, I got drug into this thing that captivated the entire planet.
So when Courtney came to you then, what did he say he had? Did he have X flash drives? Did he have diary notes? Did he have typed up documents, handwritten documents?
When we talked, he said, I'm the one that has the book. He said, Leo was trying to sell them for me. Now, from what I gather with that relationship, Leo was trying to do essentially what we, Chris Todd did, but wasn't able to do so. He, like I said, made a TikTok account, was trying to sell them. It really looked like something that was almost unsafe to buy. You wouldn't want to put your debit card or something in that link. It really just looked very shady. So the professionalism definitely wasn't there. And when we started talking, he was like, he told me that he had a flash drive. And like I said, he never told me who gave it to him. He just said he had a flash drive that was her diary that she kept throughout the years with Diddy. And that was where he got the material for the book. Now, I didn't really piece together what Matt was talking about last night until he started describing it. That is a little weird that you're making entries into this thing right up until the time you die, basically saying, oh, he got me, is how that book is ended, or some variation of that. And then allegedly this book was given to him a few months prior. Courtney never told me when he got it. He never gave me a date. I've heard people, you know, say different scenarios of somebody else had it this date and somebody else had it this date, and that he got it 30 days after she died. You know, he never told me when he got it. So I can't confirm nor deny when he actually became in possession.
All right. So he told you he had one flash drive and then he's got separate to the flash drive. He had, was the written content on the flash drive as well?
Yeah. So basically the written content, the diaries were on the flash drive. He didn't say if he typed it or if he had somebody type it, but it was basically transcribed from that flash drive to the book, which is the book that I had in my possession, which was Tell It All.
All right. And in terms of videos then, like Ariel said, she saw the stills from the videos. What do you think about the backstory of the videos? Is that false?
I mean, I can't say that it's false because I never heard about him. He never discussed him with me. Like whenever we started talking originally, he never said, yeah, I got this and I got flash drives of videos, or, and I got, you know, so-and-so in video, you know, Jaden Smith, or all those people that his names have floated around. He never told me that. That's not to say that he didn't have them. But again, the man just met me on Instagram. So how much information is he going to divulge to somebody he really don't even know? So, but even as our relationship progressed and this whole deal progressed with the book, I never was told about anything with any video. I never seen anything with any video. Once things started getting talked about, there was some pictures exchanged in the group text, but it wasn't anything like damning like that. You know, as a matter of fact, I think the worst one was, might've been a picture that you put up. It looked like Justin Bieber was kissing a guy, but there's no, you know, I don't know if that's AI generated or what, but there's no way to know that that had anything to do with Diddy, or that he was at a Diddy party, or that anything, he was being coerced. I mean, you know, I don't know what people do in their private life behind their closed doors, but you know, there's nothing to suggest that photo had anything to do with Diddy. So I never got any stills or anything like that from them. And again, he never discussed having video drives with me. Our discussion and that group text was strictly about the book and the manuscript and what they were trying to do with it. Whatever discussions Todd and Burgess had on their own was theirs. Now, I like to theorize. That's what I like to, you know, what's a logical solution? A logical solution to me, if I'm Courtney, is I don't know if Todd's going to be a man of his word and give me what he owes me when we cash out or whatever. So I tell him, hey, what's really going to make money is these flash drives. Well, I need them. I'll get them. I'll get you the flash drives with the video after I get paid for the book. If you give him everything, then what really does he have to, he's got nothing really guaranteeing that he's going to get paid for that book. You know what I'm saying? And if you look at it from that perspective, it makes sense. I'm not saying he's lying, but in this hypothetical thing that it could have happened, he's lying to Todd about having something that's going to make Todd make good on his promise for the financial portion of the book. It's not even real. Todd thinks it's real. So to convince Courtney, hey, damn the book sales, let's go with what we can get with this. He reaches out to a lawyer, claims to have in his possession this, and we want to see what it can fetch if it's real. Then he can go back to court and say, look, they're going to offer $500,000 or $2 million or whatever the case. You know, you need to get up off this thing. The hell with the book. That could be a scenario. I don't know. Any of those conversations that they had were between them.
So when we discussed it with Matt last night, it was implied that Matt thinks that Ariel was duped by the stills presented by Courtney. Do you think that is the case?
It could be. I mean, but Ariel's a lawyer. You know, you don't get your law degrees at Walmart. But then again, like, you know that this case is going to have eyes and a lot of people watching. So it's a lot of PR for you. Even if you don't necessarily believe it, maybe you still take it on to have your name attached to it, because a lot of other people that might need a lawyer later is going to see your name. Oh, who was that girl that was with the, yeah, let me give her a call. I mean, how many, OJ, nobody had ever heard of, you know, Johnny Cochran before that. A few people have, but I mean, the world knew who Johnny Cochran was after that. And if you had money and you got in trouble, you called Johnny Cochran. So not to say this is the exact same situation, but if you associate yourself with something of that magnitude, and the way she said it, I think on Fox News, if I'm not mistaken, was, I've been contacted with a guy that had possession. I've seen still photos. They are for sale. So then you open the door for you to become that buffer for anyone to do this kind of stuff. Hey, you're almost the go-between before, you know, jail time and hiding stuff or careers ruined or keeping secrets. You're now that person that can do all that. So there could have been a lot of things at play. Do I think she was duped? Probably not. Do I think she maybe didn't believe it 100% but still went with it? That seems more likely.
So people think Courtney's all over the place, but to achieve one of the highest selling books in the world, I think it was number one on Amazon for a period of time, is that a conspiracy of sales masterminds, or do you think they stumbled into that?
I definitely think it helped given the scenario of what happened. You just had the book come out 2 months prior to that. I don't know if it would have done that. It was right on the heels of Diddy's arrest. It obviously got major press from the people that we mentioned earlier, Andrew Tate tweeting about the book, Nancy Grace holding it up on Inside Edition. Brother, you can't buy that kind of PR. If you tried, if you and I put out a book, we would have to pay out the, you know what, to get Nancy Grace to hold it up. And she's holding it up full cover, reading it. And that's for people that don't even really know what's going on to go buy. And that at that time, the book was still up. So like we was calling it the Nancy Grace effect. What was it going to do next after Nancy Grace held it up? So it's a little bit of luck. I don't want to say blind luck, dumb luck, a little bit of luck, a lot of good timing. Had this book come out at any other time prior to this, I don't think it would have done the numbers. It was played perfectly. It was released perfectly, and it was marketed perfectly. Outside of the fact that Todd attached his name to it when he said he wasn't, I think that's really where this whole thing started getting a little crazy, and his name was brought up a lot. Then Courtney's name started getting brought up a lot. Once you know one member of the crew, it's a matter of time before other people's names start getting grown out. I would have been very curious to see what would happen had Todd not attached his name to that book, because it was going to get out. It was already starting to circulate.
So Chris Todd earlier today was talking about the parabolic rise of the sales. And you got a few people in the chat are asking how the finances were agreed and how it's going to play out if it was frozen by Amazon.
It was frozen. As it being unfroze, I do not know. The particulars, there were some, I don't know who else Chris had on his end. Courtney obviously is a percentage partner. And then I had a slight percentage as well. So the numbers that I hear weren't what I was shown. But then again, I don't know if that's like gross sales. I do know Amazon takes a cut. I don't really know what the actual sales of that was. And that kind of lends itself to what I was saying earlier, where Chris necessarily, in my opinion, didn't handle himself in a professional manner. When you're talking about this kind of money, when you're talking about $1.5 million in gross sales, which I think the number that he said, or that Matt Cox said, was somebody, I know it was a million and change, a million plus. When you're talking about a million plus sales, you need to be a little bit more open about what's going on with the info. And it's not like you've got pages and pages and pages of data to share with people. This book was only up for 2 weeks, roughly. It's going to be pretty well summarized. Hey, put up here, took down here. We're going to hold it for 90 days. There's going to be a total amount. It's going to be real easy to be transparent with your partners. And that wasn't the case with this.
Yeah, because I've got books on Amazon. I've helped the guys get books on Amazon. You have a dashboard.
Yeah, you've got an analytics page.
You see exactly what the sales are. For a skinny book like that, if they were charging $25, the Amazon cut is going to be a small fraction of that $25. The exactly. Majority of it is going to get paid out.
Yeah. And that's kind of, I think, where, like I said, where Todd really kind of lost Courtney and myself is, the possibility of doing any sort of future business together. And he says he's not going to do it with us. That's fine. We're definitely not going to do it with him either. And we weren't the problem. He was the one that put it up. It was under his account. It was all things were with him. And then when you do that and you withhold information that people are very curious about when it comes to that type of money, and you're very coy and cloak and dagger about everything, it's a little frustrating. And then add on the fact that I know Courtney kind of bounces around a little bit between Florida and New York, but still, that's a long way from L.A. It's not like you can just ride and meet somebody and have a cup of coffee and go over it. So you would think if you're going to do right, just be a little transparent with the way things were operating. And that wasn't the case.
All right, so I'm going to put Wade's channel link in the live chat. It's also in the description box. Get your questions in, folks. We are live. And my question is, Todd seemed quite confident that Amazon are going to pay out. Do you think that's realistic, or he's being over optimistic?
I don't see any reason why they shouldn't. I mean, a lawsuit, at least to my knowledge, a lawsuit wasn't filed against Amazon. The only thing that was filed was a cease and desist, which is exactly what it says. Hey, cease and desist selling this. All right, he stopped. Granted, he sold a lot before he stopped, but he stopped. So that's the end of it. There's nothing else going past right there. Unless there's some sort of suit filed after that against Amazon for being complicit, I guess, in putting this up, then I don't know. I've never been involved in anything like this, but I'm assuming at that point, if Amazon has frozen the funds, if it has to wind up going to litigation, they would probably use those funds for the litigation. I doubt they come out their own pockets, but to my knowledge, that's not happened. It was a cease and desist, which is odd to me because we touched on this earlier. Al B. Sure is the one that was behind the cease and desist. Yet Al B. Sure has been very vocal before this book came out that there was a tell-all book being written by Kim Porter. He knows it existed. He's seen it. So the only part in there that he didn't like, which if anybody's read or listened to this book being read, there's a very provocative situation that he finds himself with P. Diddy and Kim, but mostly Diddy. And so obviously he's not going to want that out there. So he's going to file the cease and desist. Nobody else filed a cease and desist over that book that I'm aware of. I think some cease and desist got filed for Courtney's book by the Suns later on, but that was the tell it all book. And again, cease and desist. It's not a lawsuit. It's stop doing this. You know, I could get a cease and desist if I was using somebody's trademark without their permission or something along those lines. That's not the same thing as a lawsuit. A lot of times people say these things and maybe the, and I don't want to, I'm not trying to be disparaging by saying uneducated, but somebody that's not really up to snuff on the vernaculars might think they mean the same thing. A subpoena is what Courtney got was essentially a piece of paper saying, hey, we need you here for this day. His house didn't get raided, but he used the word raided. So they didn't kick in his doors and fly him through the windows and rappel off the roof. That's a totally different thing. Cease and desist isn't a full-blown lawsuit. It's, hey, stop doing this. It's a ruler smack on the hand. So I don't see any reason why it shouldn't get released.
Thanks for all the questions coming in, viewers. And thanks for all the viewers who have subscribed to Wade's YouTube. I'm putting the link in the chat again.
Yes, thank you.
And it's in the description box. So a few people are asking, you know, was there a gesture of some of the money it was going to go to charity or to Diddy's survivors or to some kind of college? There's a few little ideas bandied around. Do you know anything about any of those?
I do not. That would more or less be a Courtney and Todd question. The lion's share, I think, was Todd's. And there's people that he had behind the scenes that, you know, we don't know about. So that would be a question for them. Trust me, my share would be, it's enough to get a cup of coffee and, you know, maybe a number 10 combo at Burger King.
Trisha wants to know, were there things in the book that you could find online?
I think most of the book has been read online, you know, word for word, at least from Chris's version. The redacted are basically two names. And, you know, I think everybody kind of knows who those names are by now. Chris has all but said it on this show before on episodes that I've seen. So it wouldn't be too hard to find those names. But, you know, I don't think there's anything else that's different. I mean, you know, if you search that book online, there's a gazillion YouTube pages of people literally reading it page for page. And they, you know, everybody wants to talk about them profiting off this book. A lot of people profited off this book. There's been millions of shows and people doing TikToks of reading this book chapter for chapter. A lot of people jumped on this. But I think what people have to understand is that's the time that we're living in where when something like this happens, it's a hot story. So people go to their respective channels. You know, I've done it. Matt Cox has done it. You've done it. That's essentially our job, is to report this kind of stuff. So you can't look at it as you're trying to make a dollar here or not trying to make, that's kind of our jobs as podcasting content creators. That's exactly what it is. Content creation. You're giving out the content. Are you saying, I know this happened, I know this? No, you're having people on that are telling their stories that people want to hear.
So a few people are asking about the CP and the possibility of Courtney being charged.
I mean, if he had it, yeah, but I've not heard of Courtney being charged with that. So if you're not charged with it, that would lead me to think either they can't prove it or you can't be charged with it if you never had it.
What do you think went down at these grand jury hearings that Courtney attended?
I'll be honest with you. I never asked him. And I didn't. It's kind of like, you know, our deal was strictly on the book. Whatever the hell else you got going on over here, I'm letting you handle that. You know, he just told me that they took his phone and that he was getting a lawyer and he was going to have to go to court for this. I learned more about what happened with him and the grand jury watching your interviews with him. And I talked to Courtney probably daily or every other day. I learned more on your interviews than I ever asked him personally.
Sarah is saying, how can Kim write a journal she no longer had in her possession up until the day she died?
That's a very good question. And see, I mean, like, you know, to theorize, this could have been written up until a certain journal entry point, and then somebody, I'm not saying Courtney, it could have been whoever had the book before Courtney. It could have been, you know, I'm not saying Kimora had it because I don't know. That was what come out. But if Kimora, somebody could have fabricated that last chapter. Somebody could have fabricated a whole book for all I know. But definitely that last chapter had to be written by someone other than Kim. I think that's kind of obvious.
Do you have an estimate on what percent might be true?
On the book?
Yeah.
I stand at probably 80 to 90% of that book is true.
So even if she didn't write it, someone close wrote it then to know that?
Yes. I mean, you would have to be at least somewhat close. A lot of these things are stories that you've heard. A lot of people have often said that, you know, Pac was set up by Biggie and Puffy at his camp. And it's been rumored that Biggie was taken out by, you know, Puff may have had some involvement in it. But of course, it's been said that, you know, Suge Knight had some involvement in it. I'm sure you probably dug into the Rampart cops, you know, in California. And I forgot his name, Rafael Perez. You know, his name has been thrown around, who was the basis of the movie Training Day with Denzel Washington, a fantastic film. You know, there's a lot of what ifs, but a lot of these stories have been out there and circulating for a while. So could someone have just said, all right, I'm going to compile all these stories and say that it was a bio? It's possible, but just because one person did take all this stuff and put it together and said it comes from this person who's no longer with us, that don't make them a lie either. How they compiled it together and who they're saying wrote it might not be 100% true, but that don't mean that the stories aren't true. You hear the same story enough times, there's usually some validity to it somewhere in there, at least a high percentage of it.
Yeah, and viewers, if you missed our interview with Suge Knight, he had a lot to say about Diddy and many other huge names. All right, so Yuri, if you've got those drives, why the hell would you want to mention them or even keep them? You'd want to hand them over to the feds instantly.
I fully agree. And you probably should not go on a pretty high-profile platform podcast and tell people that you had them and didn't do anything with it. That wouldn't be my first choice. I don't really know why he did that. But again, I didn't know that he was even doing that show with Matt when it came up and I seen the thumbnail, I was like, oh, and so I was listening to a lot of that real time as other people were. And I was just kind of shaking my head. I'm like, this is not good. It's not going to have a good outcome. And then sure enough, a few days later, it brought to fruition.
So Seago is saying Wade's background is badass. Is it real or green screen? Also, where's his UFO studio at?
This is actually the like textured paneling that you can buy off Amazon, this black. And then I have some small lights.
Really? Down
here at the bottom with a piece of blue tape over.
Oh, wow.
And it just shines and throws a blue reflection off of it. So I took a regular, just small light, put some blue tape across the front of it, and it shines through onto the black wall, the PVC, and kind of gives it, because that's the theme of the show. It's a blue and black type show. So I thought it was good. And I can't even take all the credit for that because Matt Cox has a similar setup, but his is in red. And when I change this background, because I used to have a picture of Robert De Niro from the movie Goodfellas up for a long time on my podcast. I decided to change the background, and he was like, there's a few videos of it just plain black, and he gave me that idea, and I think it looks great.
I might have to try something like that. I'm bored with my books. All right, so Angel Rock, why did Courtney keep throwing up Illuminati triangle hand signs on here?
Look, people can say what they want to about Courtney, and they say that he's not 100% believable or whatever. But there's a little bit of an evil genius there, whether you want to admit it or not. You know, there's a reason why people are still talking about him, saying his name. There's a little bit of an evil genius. Sometimes you throw out some inaccuracies on purpose, almost so much so that people know you're lying and know you're not telling the truth. Yeah, his name was Courtney Burgess, and he told that other guy he had a completely different name. And that gets people talking. Why did he say that? Why did he do this? Then he throws up the dynasties. Why did he do that? I don't know why he did it. I've never asked him, but obviously when he did it, it worked, because here it is, you know, almost a month later and people are still asking these questions. So sometimes people aren't as crazy as you think they are. They're actually pretty smart.
I know, because he did another interview of us where people were driving him up and down tunnels. It was really weird.
Yeah, I'm I seen that one. I seen one where there was like TVs and stuff playing in the background. I mean, this has been a ride, man. This has been a roller coaster ride. And to think, like, you know, you've done a ton of content on this. You've done great. And, you know, you've had some really, really entertaining interviews, especially with Jaguar. I just never would have thought, like, you know, go back to that Cat Williams interview for a minute, and he said a lot of people were going to get exposed. I never would have thought we'd have been sitting here talking about this 12 months later.
Yeah, and it's just like new developments every day.
Every day. Every day there's something. And we're not even finished. We essentially really haven't even began. Like, trials and deliberations haven't began. They haven't chose juries. You know, I know people have their, you know, concerns now. Will he be able to beat it? You know, they're saying that the people that are testifying are saying that, you know, they got this stuff done to them. Eventually they're going to have to come forward. And that's why a lot of SA cases go undocumented, and, you know, there's no one held accountable. Because a lot of times people don't want to come forward, you know, especially males. If it's a male on male essay situation, no guy wants to admit that. You know, if you go back and look at the whole Joe Paterno situation or Jerry Sandusky situation with Penn State, the, you know, very popular football program here, you know, there was a guy named Jerry Sandusky that was doing a lot of things to a lot of people. And, you know, it was swept under the rug by Joe Paterno, who was a legendary coach. Do I think he had anything to do with that? No. But, you know, was he complicit in maybe not reporting things? It certainly seemed that way. And people are a lot less reluctant, especially males, to come out and, you know, admit to that. It's rough for anybody, a victim of that, to come out and talk about it. It's very hard. But especially, it's like it takes your manhood, so to speak, if it's a male-on-male situation. So that's real hard.
Yeah, I just hosted an event in London a couple of weeks ago. We put it on the channel, Brave Survivors Speak Out. It was all men. And one guy, his book got the guy who committed these crimes, got him a good sentence. But these other guys came forward and they spoke. I was sat next to them at this event hosting it. And the guy next to me, he could barely speak. Once he got on the stage, he could barely speak. It was just so traumatic and raw for him. But at the end of it, I asked him how he felt, and he said he felt like a weight had lifted off him by getting up there and sharing, you know, what he could, which was a good thing.
I believe that when I started sharing my story, you know, for 5 years, I couldn't talk about it because it was ongoing. And then when I was able to start sharing it on Matt's show and on your show and some other programs, it definitely becomes a form of therapy. As you wouldn't think that, because it's like, I don't want to talk about it. But then when you do talk about it, and you talk about it in detail and you lay it out, it very much is a weight being put down and a weight off your shoulders.
Yeah. And I'll put the link to you on my channel in the description box. If you want to watch Wade tell his story, the link is in the description box. All right. So we had a few people asking about Beyonce. Do you think Beyonce will win Album of the Year at the Grammys after Jay-Z's big speech at the last one? Curious to see if the Grammy board will make a point. And you've got another... there's another one here. Is the Beyonce Grammy thing real? That people who don't think Beyonce and the Grammy speech die, also will Jay-Z and Beyonce be arrested?
To start with, no, I don't think she'll win a Grammy. I mean, I don't think so. Whether it's a point being made with that, I don't know so much to show that the music just isn't really what it used to be from her. I know a lot of people are fans of hers, and, you know, if you take offense to that, I apologize, but I just don't really think it's worthy of a Grammy. So sometimes I think people feel like they should get it off name value when the work doesn't speak for itself and deserve a Grammy. As far as them being arrested, I don't think Beyonce will ever be arrested for anything to do with any of this. I don't know if Jay-Z will be arrested for anything. He could possibly be called in to testify. The only way Jay-Z gets arrested is if Diddy gets him arrested. And knowing that he was involved in something that happened to a severity of degree, and that gets him brought in there. You know, the one thing I'll say about Jay, a lot of people have their, you know, things about him, but you don't see, especially now, I know back in the day probably, but now you don't see a ton of like Jay-Z, you know, crazy events and parties and stuff like that. A lot of times he's with Beyonce and they're on their, you know, $10, $15 million yacht or whatever. He is a little bit separated himself from that. I mean, he's got a lot of business ventures now. It's bigger than music for him. He'll always be tied and linked to music because that's how he made his name. But he's definitely on to bigger things than that now. And I think that's one of the reasons why he hasn't come out and spoken defense of Diddy, because that's going to jeopardize your brand and what you do. So that could ruin NFL deals with him. You know, he might love Diddy to death, but you're not going to throw away NFL money. You know, so I don't know if he ever gets arrested. If he does, it will be because Diddy has straight fingered him on something that is of high severity, because the only way Diddy is going to walk, you know, possibly get out of any of these charges and not spend the rest of his life in prison is if he gives a very big fish, bigger fish, and there's not many fish bigger than him.
So Real wants to know, what was the wildest statement you read in Kim's journal?
Probably the statement about and I'm still not going to say his name, but it's out there. There's one of the redacted names in Chris's book about a prolific rapper that's still rapping, that's still out right now, who's everywhere you want to look. That name being thrown in the mix of this, especially in the precarious situation that it talked about in that book, that was the one that kind of got me. I was like, whoa. That's not one that you want to be throwing names around all willy-nilly. And so that also kind of got me thinking of, if you're going to throw that name out, you need to make sure this has got some accuracy to it. There's a lot of other names that I could have thrown out if I wanted a shock value other than that one. And again, I'm not trying to be cloak and daggerish, but I don't even want to say that guy's name and be associated with me saying that he did all that. That's when you asked me earlier what percentage I believe the book was true, I still say I don't know if I believe that's true. That's one of the parts I believe I don't think is true.
Is Sloan Bella CIA?
I seriously doubt it.
I've reached out to Sloan Bella to try and get her on the channel. If anyone's watching who's got connections, see if she's available. We would love to get Sloan Bella on. All right, so Dia wants to know, why hasn't Kimora been asked to weigh in on the validity of the book?
I think, didn't she give a, she said, I thought I'd read something where she said she didn't know. She either just denied the book's existence and said the book was totally fake. That may have been what it was. I don't know if she's publicly addressed a direct relation to Courtney at all. But I know she come out and said the book was 100% fake. So maybe somebody should ask her, does she have any direct ties to Courtney Burgess, and, you know, cut the middleman out. All these things are going to be questions that I think will eventually make a courtroom. The only way it doesn't make a courtroom is that it's found to be not true. So there's a lot more things that need to be uncovered and investigated in this case than, you know, leads that seemingly are wild goose chases. So I think what's going to happen is, as this story progresses, as far as Courtney stuff, if he's staying in the middle of a lot of this, then there's some truth to what he's saying. If he's able to exit and not go back, then obviously there was nothing there for them to keep him for.
All right. Well, thank you for answering all the questions, Wade. Can you tell the viewers what they can look forward to on your channel in the coming weeks?
Yeah, we've actually got a really good interview with a guy that I have a passion for these types of stories, a wrongfully convicted guy, done about 7 years for a crime he didn't commit. I'm really excited to do that story. We were supposed to do it last night. We had a little bit of a time mix up, so we're going to do it Friday. So I'm hoping that will be out within a week. You know, we drop at least one episode a week. So we kind of mentioned earlier, we do a lot of stuff with organized crime, you know, drug smugglers, actors. Sopranos, I mentioned, is one of my favorite TV shows. I've interviewed about 9 or 10 people from that series. You know, we've had some pretty famous movie stars on. Tommy Chong from Cheech and Chong. Even interviewed the late, great Tom Sizemore that was in such hits as Natural Born Killers, the movie Heat with Al Pacino and Robert De Niro. He was one of the bank robbers and Robert De Niro's crew, and was also in Saving Private Ryan, one of the main characters in that. So there's a lot, there's a little something for everybody. We don't zone in on one thing at Crime and Entertainment. We that name kind of says it all, Crime and Entertainment. You get a little bit of everything over there. And Sean, I appreciate you having me on again to, you know, kind of give my 2 cents on this and how I fit into it. And, you know, any opportunity I get to come on and share anything about the channel and anything you guys want to talk about, you definitely reach out and I'll be more than happy to come back on.
Appreciate that, brother. You're a brilliant speaker. It's always a great pleasure. And thank you for coming on and spending time. Take care. Cheers, cheers. What a great guy. Wade's links are in the description box below the video. I've just put his YouTube channel and his link tree in the chat. Thank you for all of your questions, everybody. And I'll let you guys know what we've got coming up in the coming week. So we have got Tommy Scoville, Diddy and Hollywood Exposed, episode 4, coming up tomorrow night, 9 o'clock till 11 o'clock UK. Ron's got his daily show in the afternoon. And we are probably going to get even more guests lined up. What's that, Thursday? And then on Friday, Ron's got a new show coming out. Shane, the guest booker, he's been moving house. He's had a lot on his plate. He's going to get back to work. And he said he's going to line us up with some heavy hitters as soon as he gets back. So I'm looking forward to that. And I'll be doing the updates. So it's midnight here. Time for me to get to bed now with Jen and make sure baby Ziggy's nicely settled. He did wake up a lot last night. But, yeah, thanks for tuning in, everybody. And thank you to all of the contributors, all the viewers, and for everyone who's put questions in the chat. Good night. Much